Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
And this is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for Year A, the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. In Genesis, we have the fearsome story of Abraham nearly sacrificing Isaac. In Romans, Paul assures us we've got to serve somebody, so we better choose wisely. And in Matthew, Jesus says, if you give a cup of cold water to a little one, you'll be blessed. Don't fear, we have chosen wisely some illustrations and special effects to bless your preaching.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we can make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so that they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. Let's get started.
The Old Testament lesson for Year A, Ordinary 13, is Genesis 22, verses 1 through 18. It is indeed the fearsome story of Abraham and the near sacrifice of Isaac. It is a masterfully written piece of literature in the way that it just draws out the anxiety as we watch the story go on. And just the details that get thrown in along the way that just drag it out. And, you know, it's the culmination of the whole Abraham and Sarah cycle, really. Mm-hmm. And whoever wrote it did a spectacular job. But what a fearsome story. I just keep coming back to that word because what are we going to do with this? So I'm sure you know it, so we're not going to say too much more about it other than it ends okay. Spoiler alert, it ends okay. We have a lot of material to offer you, and so we're going to give you a word smart illustration, eye smart illustration, math smart illustration, body smart illustration, music smart illustration, nature smart special effect, people smart, and self smart both get both illustration and special effect. So Molly's going to tell us a little bit about the word.
All righty. So what we're looking at here in Word, David has already mentioned that this is a really excellent piece of literature, this story, the way it's crafted, the way it is told, and the way it just continues on thousands of years after it has been written or told even. It just has a life of its own. And as literature, as good literature, it has a tendency to get stuck in the minds of people. And in 1843, Soren Kierkegaard, the great Danish thinker and philosopher, wrote an entire book on this story called Fear and Trembling. I had not known that, but somebody had referenced it in one of the commentary I was reading, and so I went and looked up a SparksNote version of it, and it's actually interesting to read the SparksNote. So we have a link to that at the show notes, so you can go take a look. So there's an illustration about the literary power of this story and how it has influenced people.
Yeah, the first chapter of the book just goes through a variety of iterations of how the story might
right,
have played
out.
Right,
how it might have turned out, yeah. It's, four different ways that Abraham could have responded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For iSmart, thinking about the march out to Mount Moriah, and we're putting this in iSmart because of the spatial relationships involved in the movement of the story and in that three-day journey. John Calvin, in his commentary on the passage, says it was a three-day journey so that he might have time to consider it, the sacrifice of Isaac, and if he did it, must do it deliberately. We're going to come back to that in a little while with self-smart, but just thinking about that march mm-hmm. out for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Then looking at verse 13 in the passage, which says, Abraham looked up and saw the ram caught in the thicket. as with the story last week with Hagar and Ishmael in the wilderness and suddenly seeing a well of water, here we have Abraham suddenly seeing the ram. And so it's either these things magically appeared or they were somehow hidden from sight mm-hmm. and then revealed, or they were such intense situations that the main character here had tunnel vision and right. wasn't able to see right. the thing that was right in front of them. So you might want to check last week's episode on what we said about that for Hagar. But here also, again, the idea of Abraham maybe having tunnel vision, being so emotionally focused.
Right.
And we've got a link to an article that talks about situational awareness and the onset of tunnel vision and how first responders in particular need to be able to get past that tunnel vision and be aware of their surroundings.
Oh, yeah. So, that would be very important.
Yeah.
For Math Smart, we're looking more at the logic side of it again. And at the heart of this story is really the uncertainty of the journey and what's going on and how the uncertainty requires a response to its demands. This is a really difficult story to interpret without a great deal of your own stuff getting in there. Grief for everyone involved, questions about what kind of a God is this that would require this, and how do you get out of this story with a good interpretation that doesn't just, you know, jump to the end and say, oh, happy ever after, you know, sort of cheapening it. An illustration about the difficulty of a parent's choice is illustrated really well in William Styrone's book, Sophie's Choice. It was made into a movie starring Meryl Streep, and I still see that scene at the end where she had to make the choice. Oh my God, it was amazing. But this is a story that deals with the gut-wrenching decision that a parent must make over the sacrifice of a child. And the obvious difference in these two stories, Sophie's Choice and the story of the near sacrifice of Isaac, is that Isaac is spared. But how many parents in the history of the world, and even today, are forced to make a decision where something either about their child or their child themselves are sacrificed? And, you know, the opposite of that question is how many of them make those choices with no thought to their children at all?
Hmm. Hmm. For Body Smart, Abraham gets the call in verse 2 to take his son, his only son, whom he loves, and to do this thing. And so as that happens, and as the story goes along, and as he is taking the boy and putting him on the altar, you know, he's got this boy, the physical proof of God's promise fulfilled in his hands. Thinking about that sort of tactile experience of something that to which you are greatly connected. And more loosely or more casually, anytime you have Indiana Jones completing one of his quests, he gets his hands on the object that he has been after through the whole movie.
Right? And then it's gone.
And then, yeah. And then it's gone. But you might also think symbolically of similar sorts of things that you, a diploma or degree that you have worked really hard for, or a project that you have made, sewn, crafted, built, restored, what have you, a signed contract for a job or project that you really wanted or needed, or that baby that you've been expecting for 9 months and having that in your hands. And then the idea of having that taken away, or that you have to actually not only give it up, but do it in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, that's hard. For Music Smart, in the commentary that I was reading, I was given these two options that you could use. Bob Dylan's Highway 61 Revisited and Leonard Cohen's Story of Isaac. Both of these songs explicitly reference the story of Isaac's near sacrifice.
Yeah, the lyrics are pretty...
They're tough.
Tough. Yeah, tough lyrics. So this is going to be a tough sermon if you
go
here.
It will if you go this route.
No matter which way you go. For Nature Smart, a special effect would be to build a stone altar in the front of the sanctuary, as Abraham did on Mount Moriah. And it sounds like it would be kind of a straightforward thing to do, but you have to be kind of careful about how you go about it. There are some biblical instructions on this, that you shouldn't use cut stones, but only natural stones, untouched by tools. And so there, you got to figure out how those are going to fit together if you're going to do this. And a lot of the examples, if you just Google building a stone altar, a lot of the a lot of the stuff that comes up is definitely not Christian or Jewish in its origin. And so you need to be mindful of whose advice you're following on how to build an altar. So, you know, you don't summon demons or something into the sanctuary. If you choose to do this and doing it mindfully and prayerfully, I think you could incorporate it into the sermon. And as you lay the stones, you know, you could be building the layers of your sermon. And,
cool.
And it could follow that same sort of drawing out that happens in the story. You know,
As you're laying building, the stones, people don't know what you're doing until you get to that point.
Yeah, and building to that climax. Yeah. So, yeah.
Huh, cool. I like that. For People Smart, we have an illustration talking about the relationship, the depth of the relationship. And to illustrate that, if you have seen the movie The Abyss, starring Ed Harris and Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, they are a husband and wife team that find themselves in a sunken sub with one air helmet between the two of them, and they need to get back to the other sub in order to, you know, live. So as the sub they're in starts to fill with water, they decide, you know, kind of really quickly that he'll wear the helmet and she'll drown. And then he will get her back to the underwater lab and resuscitate her. It's
hard to watch.
Wow. Yeah, it really is.
Excellent acting in that scene.
Excellent movies. If you haven't seen The Abyss, why not? Watch it. And for a special effect, take this quote and have your congregation discuss this. This quote is from Catherine Schifferdecker, "Now I Know," quoting God. She says, "This story does not subscribe to later notions of God's perfect omniscience. This is a genuine test, and Abraham is free to decide what he will do. God neither knows nor preordains how Abraham will respond." We have a link to her commentary at Working Preacher in our show notes. So break your congregation into groups and have them discuss the decisions presented here and maybe in any of the other illustrations that you might have used and in the story itself. If God is not omniscient in this story, does this change God?
Hmm. And what do we do about that?
Right.
How does that affect our faith?
Hmm. Right.
Well, for self-smart, thinking about verse 3, which is after Abraham has gotten the call, he gets up early in the morning and saddles his donkey and gets on the road. So maybe Abraham shared some wisdom with Mark Twain, who's reported to have said, "If it's your job to eat a frog, it's best to do it first thing in the morning. And if it's your job to eat two frogs, it's best to eat the biggest one first."
Uh-huh.
Yes. So then for Self-Smart special effect, going back to the Calvin quote that we mentioned in iSmart about the march out there and the intentionality and deliberateness with which Abraham had to do this thing if he was going to go that far. I invite your folks to consider this. Can you think of a time when you did something that you weren't sure that you really wanted to do, but in the heat of the moment, you just did it before I could change my mind, right? And so maybe something as mundane as eating an oyster or jumping into a cold pool or, you know, getting married or... That's not mundane, but buying a car or, you know, just making a decision that you weren't sure was going to be wise, but
you did it before you could back out.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, how did it turn out? And what if you had to take a 3-day journey in order to do it? Would you still have done it?
Good question.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go on.
The epistle lesson for year A, ordinary 13, is from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. We're picking up right where we left off last week. Last week, Paul was making a strong case for the new life in baptism. He's continuing to talk about that new life in baptism by referring back to what baptism changes us out of, which is sin no longer has dominion or domination over us. It means we're not going to fall back into a lifestyle or into a life that is apart from God because baptism has brought us into this new reality. Also, in being in this new reality, we'll recognize when we slip, when we fall down, and we may have better strength and better tools to be able to deal with that and to apologize. Gee, imagine. And repair relationships, be reconciled. So here we go. We're going to look at only four of our intelligences for this passage because we gave you so much for the last one. So we're going to look at body smart with an illustration and special effect, an illustration in music smart, more music, yay, an illustration in nature smart, and an illustration and special effect in people smart. So David's going to start us off.
Yeah, so for body smart, there seems to be a strain throughout this passage of kind of dualism at work here in what Paul is writing, in that he says several times, don't submit your members to sin anymore, but submit your members to righteousness. And there's this sense that we have mind and we have members, and our members are, it's basically just your body. It's the formed flesh that makes your body. Okay. So the members submit to the choices of your mind. And so it's up to you whether you are going to submit those choices to be under sin or under righteousness and obedience. So your members then can be thought of as tools of the mind to do its work, whichever way it's going to go. So like a wrench or a hammer or a wagon or whatever. That's your body following the instructions that your brain gives it. Right? And so for special effect, bring out your toolbox, get a variety of tools and demonstrate their use and how you can use them at your command. And
don't smack your thumb with a hammer, though.
Try not to, yeah. But do recognize that they aren't going to do anything without your intention behind them, and that they will do what you tell them to, even if it is smack your thumb. It might not be quite what you had in mind, but...
Well, you actually do that because you're not looking at where you're going.
Right. You're looking at the wrong place.
You're looking at the wrong thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then you can also imagine both creative and destructive uses for those tools, that you can build stuff or you can rip stuff up. And this is also how our bodies can be used either for sin or for righteousness. And so you can continue on with that. In verse 19, Paul seems to be saying here that he's warning against the misuse of our bodies. And the misuse of our members. So thinking about the ways that we misuse our bodies can get you into that. So if taking in too much sugar or too much fat or too much caffeine, is there such a thing? Too much alcohol, too much self-medication, too little exercise, too little breathing, too little connection with life-giving sources. And then for special effect, continuing on with your set of tools there, you can talk about misusing your tools, using them for the wrong jobs, for example, or...
if you ever wanted to see my father get upset, you misuse a tool. Yeah. Uh-huh. What are you doing that for?
No, that's not what that's for. Right. So you can abuse your tools by, you know, leaving them out in the yard.
Oh,
for example.
Yeah. Huh?
So
no, that, don't do that.
Or you can misuse them by using them for the wrong jobs, using your screwdriver as a hammer, for example, or trying to use your saw blade as a screwdriver, or use your pliers as an awl. You can try. It's not really what they're made for, and you won't get the best results. Moving on to music smart, we have a couple of things for you here with the idea of reporting for duty. And that seems to be a theme through this passage, is figure out who it is that you're going to report to duty. The one to whom you are going to report to duty.
There you go.
There we go. There we are. So we have a short poem, just a four-line poem that is reportedly written by a soldier, and says, when I die and go to heaven, to St. Peter I will tell, one more soldier reporting for duty, sir, I've served my time in hell.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. And I think Paul would appreciate that here because he's saying, you've served your time serving sin.
Now it's time serve righteousness.
To serve righteousness. Yeah. So there's that. And we have a link to that in the show notes at morethanhearing.org. And then also we have another Bob Dylan song, Gotta Serve Somebody. And we've got a link to a video and a link to the lyrics. Basically, it's a 6.5-minute song, like Bob Dylan does, just piling up the layers of, doesn't matter what your status is, you got to serve somebody. And it might be the devil, but it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody.
For Nature Smart, we're looking at an illustration based on this quote from William Loder, who says that by opening ourselves to God's goodness, we not only experience forgiveness and hope, but also begin a journey where that love produces love in and through us. God's goodness and generosity reproduces itself. And that got me to thinking about planting gardens. Our son and I went to a Home Depot the other day, and I splurged and bought some perennials. And we planted them in the backyard. So this goodness and this generosity makes me think of, and other fruits of the Spirit are like perennial plants. Once they're in there, they stay and in spite of the deer. They survive the dormant season and they are new every year. So for People Smart, we're asking the question, to what will we be freely obedient? So we have three video clips of people reporting for duty. We've got one clip that goes into the in-processing for the United States Air Force class of 2015. It's a video of all these new guys and girls showing up for duty. We've got another one, a two-second clip from Starship Troopers, Recruit Flourish, showing up for duty. And then finally, a work crew showing up. Here we are, boss. What do you want us to do? There's also a sense that there are sometimes workers who refuse to work for unethical companies or for unethical reasons. So that's kind of a flip side of this, being freely obedient to the will of God and to the will of righteousness as opposed to sin.
Yeah, or just doing what you're told.
Exactly, right. A good example of that is Wernher von Braun, who started as an instrument of the Nazi war machine, but then later went on to become an instrument of the American space program. Arguably, that became part of also the Cold War, but the space program really provided some remarkable science and discovery, and there's a lot of benefit that we're enjoying out of that even to this very day. And then for a special effect, looking at verses 21 and 23, the fruit of death and the wages of sin is death. Wonder how many of our collective behaviors lead to these wages of death. For example, holding grudges, othering other people, brushing off obligations to other members of the church because they always come through without thinking that maybe they always come through because people are loading them up with their obligations. Mm-hmm. Careless language, fearful language, gossip. So maybe think of those things, have your congregation or include that in some of your talk about this new way of being. Or have your congregation write down on paper one act of obedience that they've freely chosen. Marriage, service to the country, or service in other ways. Jobs, parenthood. How can your brothers and sisters in your congregation support you in these freely obedient decisions? And how can you support them in theirs? And does that reduce the wages of sin?
Looking for a living wage. Huh?
There you go. Oh, I like that. Nice.
The gospel lesson for year A, Ordinary 13, is Matthew 10, verses 40 to 42. It is the end of Jesus' directions to the apostles who are being sent out into the fields to bring in the harvest of souls, as it were, to bring in those who are in need of the kingdom. And so this is the last little bit. He says, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet because it's a prophet gets a prophet's reward. Whoever welcomes a righteous person because it's a righteous person gets a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, I tell you, none of them will lose their reward." So that's pretty much the whole thing.
Yep. Not even a paraphrase.
Not even. Missed a few words, I think. So we've got four of the intelligences to take a look at here. So we've got illustration and special effect in iSmart, MathSmart, NatureSmart, and PeopleSmart.
Okay, well, we're going to start it off in iSmart, and we're looking at the very first verse. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. I did some reading on this passage, and a woman named Liddy Barlow, writing at the Christian Century for this coming Sunday, starts out her commentary by talking about advice that's given to students who are going on to take clinical pastoral education, or CPE. It is sometimes something that is required of governing bodies of their prospective ordinands in order to give them a chance to get out there and really experience the trenches.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with CPE, it's an intensive experience of pastoral
care, pastoral situations.
Often chaplaincies or in hospitals and hospice and prison.
Very, very intense.
And there's a lot of group work to process all the things that you do.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's more difficult than the actual the actual work itself, according to people that we've known who have done CPE.
Right.
But she said that they are told, you are representing Christ alongside you, behind you, following you into the room, invisibly but truly, is the entire church. You bring God with you. You are yourself, but more than yourself. So that's kind of a visual way of looking at whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Because when you walk into the room, you bring Jesus with you, and you bring all of that stuff with you. So as a special effect, envision yourself walking into a room, and right behind you are your parents, who are walking in with you because they're the ones that gave you life, and walking in right behind them are their parents, and so on and so on and so on, back until you can't trace your family history anymore. Also coming in behind you are the people who shaped your life, teachers, pastors, friends, role models. They're coming in behind you too because they've shaped who you are, and people that have shaped their lives and have made it possible for them to shape yours. And so all those people that walk into a room when you walk into a room. So how big does that room have to be? And how big must you be for having all of them in you?
Does that make it heavier or lighter?
I don't know. You mean, is it the responsibility?
Yeah.
I suppose it kind of depends.
I guess for me, I was thinking the way the question's written, it sounds like I have to carry all these people on my shoulders into the room.
Or all these people and are carrying you in on their shoulders.
That sounds better to me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, as an introvert who hates those sorts of situations where I have to go into somebody else's room.
Having people back you up.
Having everybody else there with me makes it easier, I think.
Well, there you go.
So, okay, going on to Math Smart, thinking about this grouping that Jesus creates of these three characters, the prophet, the righteous person, and the least of these are the little ones. And so we're thinking about the relationship of three, which we often end up doing here. So we have this triad of prophet, righteous ones, and little ones. And triads often focus attention on the third member whose identity comes as a surprise, you know, that comedy
the triple.
So audiences might have expected this triad to be prophets and the righteous and the wise ones, perhaps, or the holy ones, or the priests, or somebody like that. Nope, it's the little ones who represent the mission being wholly dependent on God. So for special effect, a couple weeks ago, we had a three-legged stool. And so let's think about that again. They bring back your three-legged stool, that it needs all three legs to be stable. And with three legs, it is more stable than any other configuration. Mm-hmm. Here we have three legs that are needed for this to work. We have the prophets, who are the ones who speak God's word. We have the righteous ones, who keep God's word. And we have the third leg, the little ones, who have a leg that's just the same size as the other, the same importance as the other two. And the little ones demonstrate how utter dependence on God's power and presence and provision is necessary. So they're the ones who need God's word. We also have some other stuff that'll be on the worksheet at the website, morethanhearing.org. I tried to turn all of this into mathematical equations. I did it. They don't mean a thing. But you can look at it if you
want to. Plug in some numbers and see where you go.
Yeah, yeah.
We apologize if you wind up in jail.
Yeah.
Or on the moon. Which could be cool.
Fault. Not my fault if you end up in jail. You're using the wrong numbers.
For Nature Smart, we're looking at verse 42, that cup of cold water. A cup of cold water can sometimes be very, very precious to a person who is really, really thirsty. So you can use that as an illustration of thirst. That could also kind of tap into some body smart too. But in some instances, a cup of cold water can be the gift of life itself. Think back to last week's story of Hagar and Ishmael. She found water. It was life for her son. So you could also pull in other elements of how water gives life. You could also even pull in some people smart stuff with, you know, the social justice aspect of clean water and clean water initiatives. For a special effect, give everybody cold water in your congregation. Have some water pitchers and some cups and pass out a drink of water for everybody.
For people smart, we have a quote for you from Elizabeth Johnson at Working Preacher, who writes, "In the ancient world, identity was tied to family and community. It was understood that in showing hospitality, one welcomed not just an individual, but implicitly the community who sent the person and all that they represent."
So kind of that CPE thing.
Right, yes. This is also very much what Jesus is saying. If you receive me, you receive the one who sent me. So for special effect, you can have some discussion in groups in your congregation. Give them these questions to think about. How often do you represent your family as you go about your daily life? Are you aware of it? And if you are, how does that rest on your shoulders? And do you see other people as emissaries of their places of origin? Does it make a difference how you receive them if you do or if you don't? So going back for another bit of illustration here, thinking about this idea of being sent, as Jesus is sending them out into the world with this advice here, what would happen if we stopped expecting people to come on their own initiative to us through our church doors and instead took seriously our calling to bring the gospel to them? And what would happen if we truly believed that we bear the presence of Christ to every person that we encounter in every home, workplace, or neighborhood that we enter? And what would happen if we saw every conversation as an opportunity to speak words of grace and every interaction as an opportunity to embody Christ's love for the neighbor? So for special effect, give your folks some paper with a few questions here to let them shape a plan to take the gospel into the world this week. So you might ask, to whom do you think you will go? Either a specific person or maybe a type of person, or maybe you don't know. And so maybe your answer would be whoever God brings. I don't know. What is it that you're going to bring them? In the longer passage here, Jesus talks about bringing testimony, calling people to repent, and offering healing and casting out of demons. So what are you going to bring? And why? What is the person's need that you're going to be addressing? And with whom might you partner to do this? Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing. Send us a tweet at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe got an idea that you liked even better than ours, let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text, so you can see some of our ideas that don't make it into the podcast. Those also might be helpful or give you a spark. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes. Or you can point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can find us on the iTunes store too. You can subscribe there directly, and you can support the show by writing a review, which will help others find us more easily. And of course, you can always share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another installment next week. So in the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.